Welcome to Tom Papa's Come to Papa.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Come to Papa. Welcome to Tuesday. February 7th, 2017. A lot of sevens today.
I feel like we went to the future.
For any of you people out there that are into playing the scratch-offs or the big lotteries, February 7th, 2017. Hope you're doing well. Glad that you're listening to us on whatever device that you are listening to things nowadays, be it your phones or your computer or rolling in your car, or maybe you have an old-timey radio that has a Bluetooth adapter on it. Who knows what the hell you're doing? I can't keep track. But whatever you did, good job.
Nice work.
Good job figuring this all out, bringing a little entertainment into your life. You're your own producer now.
Yeah.
Everybody is their own network executive, and you've got to figure out all the programming for you.
Yeah, you got your own playlist.
You got to make your music playlist. You got to create your channels on Spotify. You got to decide whether or not you're going to pay for Hulu. You got to sign up for the Netflix. You got to do your podcasts. You got to pick out your websites. Everybody is their own damn network executive.
Yep.
It's hilarious. It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
And then you throw in all the politics. You got to keep monitoring if the world is coming to an end. Got to keep seeing if we're going to be in a war or not. So now you're a network executive and you're a political correspondent. Then you throw the rest of your life on top of it. All of the cooking and cleaning and all the rest of the stuff. Very busy people. So thanks for tuning in and putting us as part of your lineup. We really appreciate it.
The soundtrack of your life.
Dun, 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 dun. You know, we did shows in Minneapolis and Red Wing, Minnesota this weekend. They were kick-ass shows. Such a good time. It's always a good time when you go to Minnesota.
Yeah.
Always.
They love comedy.
They really do. They are really great audiences. And we had tremendous shows and good people. And a lot of people came to the shows actually are fans and listeners of the podcast. So we can say directly to you all, thanks for coming out.
Yeah, thank you.
That was really a good time. Two beautiful theaters, the Women's Club in Minneapolis and then the Sheldon Theater in Red Wing, Minnesota. And Red Wing, if you're doing a show there, if you're ever going to do a show there, if you ever put together an act and you were going to go roll through this beautiful Red Wing and play this beautiful theater, you might want to put some food aside before before the show, because when it's done around 10 o'clock at night, slim pickings.
Yeah, there was one lady working in the whole town at 10 o'clock.
There really was.
She was the bartender and waitress at a place called what was that? Lampies or something? Or?
Liberties, something like that. Everybody else. It was almost like we were in the movies, like in an old western,
mm-hmm.
when we're walking down the center of the street. And everybody's just closing up their doors,
yeah.
and flipping around the signs and ducking behind the bar.
Storm's coming.
No. Oh, my God. The comedians are coming. Close up shop. We don't want no trouble. And Liberties was like, you can come in here if you want. But, yeah, everything shuts down. It's always funny when you go to places like that and they're like, people who live there, work mm-hmm. there, have decided to raise families there are like, why are you here?
Right, right.
Why not?
They're surprised that you show up.
Yeah. Yeah. You have a theater. You're here. Why are you surprised that we came?
It's like, I thought you guys were successful. What are you doing here?
And then we got a really good review. I only read reviews that are good. By Neil Justin in the Star Tribune. Comedian Tom Papa offers a respite from the troubles in top-notch Minneapolis show. Very good write-up about the act and everything. And he said, if you missed our gigs in Minneapolis or Red Wing, you can listen to Come to Papa podcast, co-starring the very amiable warm-up act Paul Morrissey.
Amiable.
Amiable.
Very nice.
Yes. You could also take comfort in the fact that Papa will be back soon. He always is. That's true. I'll be back in Minnesota this weekend.
Yeah, that's how quick.
Because Neil wrote a nice thing about the act. I'm gonna go back on Friday. No, I'm very excited. I am going, but actually going to St. Paul because I'll be performing on Prairie Home Companion.
Now, is there really a difference between St. Paul and Minneapolis?
Well, they're twin cities, Paul, but they're those, what are the twins that look different?
There's the Danny identical DeVito twins. And Schwarzenegger.
There's the identical twins, which creep people out because you can't tell. I dated a twin once.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, identical twin. And I could tell them apart.
You could tell the difference, like, after a while, right?
Yeah, of course. But you know, you catch them out of the corner of your eye, you're like, is that her? Oh, no, that's not her. And, you know, you're in your 20s and you're, you know, it's go time, early 20s. And you're like, all right, you know. I could be with her too, I guess.
Yeah, there's two of them.
There's two. I love how guys always think that twin girls always just want to have sex with you at the same time. Like, it's the dumbest. Why would? Of course, we think that.
It's only in Playboy.
like they're actually in our mind, they're the same person. They're like a two-headed hydra.
Yeah.
That just is built to have sex with you on this planet.
I actually performed at a Mother of Twins convention.
Really?
One of my early gigs. It was a thing.
Mother of Twins.
Yeah, so it was convention. All mothers of twins who got together and were really, really drunk.
Of course.
And but you never really thought about, like, I'm just performing for all women. So, like, sports references, all this kind of different things that you never really think about that are...
Didn't work.
Like dividing the crowd. Yeah, it was a cool thing, but I did think about, like, there's one of these moms that has, like, the Playboy Playmate twins.
Like the two sexy twins that...
Or the porn star twins.
Yeah, that's what we all just hope for, like two dummies. You're like, well, she's beautiful. Why don't I just double it down? And then I'll be with two of them. That's so stupid. But, it was kind of fun. But they both... I don't know. It was in school. I don't even think... I think the other one maybe visited. I don't think she went to the school.
Oh, so you didn't see both of them at the same time and said, hey, I like you than the girl who looks exactly like you?
No, I met the one and had no idea there was a twin involved until later.
Ah, I see.
And then...
They didn't try to freak you out and just have her come up to you?
No. It's the other thing about twins. They're not into the pranks.
No,
nope. You think they're just full of, like, well, we're gonna do twin jokes. Nope, they're just trying to live their life.
I always heard about the guys who would, like, show up and take the same test twice in school and stuff like that. You never heard about that? Like,
nope.
Twins that were in cahoots.
No, I'm sure it could happen. Mm-hmm. We know the Sklar brothers; they're twins.
Yeah, yeah.
Twin comedians. They're in a Burger King commercial right now.
Right.
I would mix up their names.
Yeah.
Jason and Randy. Like, I would mix up their names at first, but you know what it is? If you're paying attention, you can tell. And there's no, if it's kind of out of the corner of your eye, you don't really know them that well, then it might be a little confusing.
But it is funny how some of them gravitate towards looking completely different, and then some want to look exactly like each other, even into their adulthood.
Well, they say that bond is, like, the most incredible bond you could have with another human being.
And they all have the same tastes, probably. You know,
no, like, they say if you separate them at birth, mm-hmm. You've heard these stories where you separate twins at birth, and then they meet up when they're in their, like, their 20s, and they're wearing the same shoes and work the same job and have the same likes and dislikes in totally different parts of the world.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, it's weird. There's just all this DNA that's just firing off in your being that's making you do all these things.
I always thought.
And there's a sensory thing which probably exists on a different level than we're even aware of, where they have a deep sense of each other. Like, if someone gets hurt or if somebody is in trouble, like, you feel it or you're alerted or you know that they're in trouble. That's a whole nother level of sensory stuff that they share, which we probably share with other beings and other stuff. Like, a lot of times moms will wake up out of a dead sleep when their kids are in a car accident or something. You know, you don't know, they don't know why, but they know something is wrong in the universe.
Yeah.
That is a level of perception that I'd have to believe exists.
Yeah, they have their own language.
Who?
You never heard of that? Twins that have their own language?
What?
Yeah, they have their own shorthand and they speak to each other. Yeah, that's like a thing.
That's not a thing.
Yeah, yeah. Look it up.
What,
man.
Like pig Latin?
I don't know. Just certain names and stuff like that. So nobody else knows what they're talking about.
But not
about.
Universal with twins. You're saying...
Well, no, not every
just
twin.
These twins that you know made up twin private language and then...
They have a little shorthand.
To say that their parents are idiots?
I don't know. I don't know what the... That's what I mean. It would be the perfect thing to for like... Well, I tell you what, this is the best thing. What if they ran cross country, the one twin starts the race, and then halfway through, the other one jumps out of the woods, finishes the race.
Sure, it's happened.
Nobody knows the difference.
Like we were watching the Super Bowl on Sunday.
Yeah.
And I was remarking at how amazing Lady Gaga was, jumping off the top of the stadium,
right,
changing into outfits, having face paint, not having face paint. And then you pointed out it was actually... Five Gagas.
Yeah, there's five Gagas. Nobody's even, that's not even a story. They were just saying how out of shape she was, which that was the big fat shaming thing.
After the Super Bowl?
Yeah, everyone's saying, oh, she didn't look that hot. She looked kind of out of shape.
Who was saying that?
That's supposedly, I've only read the articles that say, shame on those who are making fun of Lady Gaga. She jumped off a stadium. And
she was amazing.
Did this and did that.
She was amazing, and she looked like she was in amazing shape.
It was a full show. I mean, the only downside is, like, I'm not a huge fan of her songs. I knew, like, a couple of them. But, like, for that show, you got to have, like, all-time hits. You know what I mean? That's like a Tom Petty, Paul McCartney kind of forum.
Well, but you run out of those people really quickly, you know? I mean, like, if I were to sit here and name her songs, I couldn't really... give you a list of them, but when they came up during the Super Bowl, I was like, oh yeah, and that song. And that song.
So I think that's what she tried to compensate that with, like putting on a great like performance part.
She's amazing. I mean, to walk onto that stage and do what she did is great. I mean, who cares if she was totally overweight and looked like meatloaf?
I think only one of them was overweight, and that's the one that's getting all the publicity. The other four that were actually in shape are upset about it.
Siblings, and especially twins, have been inventing private languages since time immemorial, to little fanfare. But recently, such ingenuity has captured the public's imagination. This spring, a YouTube video of jabbering twins went viral and even made it to the New York Times Well blog. The Washington Post recently celebrated a new play that revolves around a similar pair of girls and their secret twin speak. Scientists, meanwhile, have spent the last few decades quietly building a body of research into what they call cryptophagia, or twin language, and they are of two minds about it. They find it fascinating as a window into the origins of human language, but they also worry that it hampers children's development. So I guess twins have been like, you know, you're on your own, you're there, you have this connection. And you're like, you see dad comes in, tells you go to sleep. He walks out and the one's like, what a crank crank. And they're like, oh, total crank crank. Mom's more of a blip blop. Yeah, total blip blop. Mom's a blip blop, dad's a crank crank.
Yeah, yeah. See, I told you, man. I know a lot of useless facts about twins.
Do you know that a lot of times when twins go to school, if one twin becomes jealous of the other twin, a lot of times the one that came out first will eat the other one.
For lunch?
Yeah, and a lot of times you'll hear of twins going missing, and it wasn't until this scientist out of Germany uncovered it that a lot of twins eat their sibling when they feel threatened.
It would be good if like it was just like one finger.
Just nibble?
Yeah.
Just eat them slowly? And they can't tell anybody because they have their twin speak?
Yeah, they could just replace the other guy's twin That's the replacement parts at all, is all it is. That's what you got to think about.
Don't tell Kring Kronk, but I'm going to eat your finger if you don't, if you talk to that boy again.
Don't mess with me. I got your backup kidney right here, twin.
You twang. Yeah, but you're able to communicate. I mean, language is, yeah, I can get that. You can have a whole full language, but that's not as impressive to me as being able to communicate telepathically with people.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever had someone in your life that you were able to communicate with, or like that you would ever, whenever you would think about calling, they would call, or like there were so many coincidences like that that you thought you were connected with this person mentally?
Like when your wife shoots you a look and then you're like, oh, I know what that means.
No, no, that's that's not telepathy. That's just annoying. My mother and I, when I was growing up, always had that kind of thing where I would be thinking something and she would say it, or vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
It happened with too much frequency for it to not be something. Yeah. I really believe that. I really believe that you can communicate.
You guys
can harness it. We're so beyond being able to harness it and use it. But, you know, life is all energy and it's all out there. And there's certain people that you just key in with and you just have, you're communicating subconsciously.
Why couldn't you guys be on Password together? You'd be the greatest team ever.
No, you can't harness it. See, that's the problem.
Not for a game show?
No, I would go out there and I'd be all cool and calm, and my mother would freak out that she was on TV. Once she sat in the makeup chair, she would start to lose it.
Yeah.
And then she'd lock up, and we wouldn't be able to communicate because she'd be sweating and freaked out that she's on television. And then we'd lose Password. And then we'd be in the car on the way home, and she'd be like, don't call me an asshole. I didn't call you an asshole. I didn't say anything. I heard you in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you did blow it, and now we have no money and we can't pay the landlord. We're going to get kicked out of our
house.
It's
not what you say, Tom. It's how you say it.
So twins. I'm glad I didn't have twins. I feel like it puts you at a disadvantage for sure. Because, you know, you got two of them just in love
with each
other.
They're pretty rare. I mean, we know Erin and her sister, Erin Foley.
Well, there's more of the twins that don't look alike. I had my friend in high school, the one guy, they were twins, and the one guy was the quarterback on the football team, 6'3", blonde, blue-eyed,
mm-hmm.
muscular guy. And his brother was like 4'2".
Oh, no way.
Yeah. He was like, not 4'2". He was like 5'2". He was tiny. And, you know, they loved each other. There was no problem with any of that. But from the outside, it was like, what? How'd this happen?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like they dumped too many ingredients in this guy. And they, you know, made a little couple dinner rolls with the other guy on the side.
Well, I had twins on my college basketball team. They were both 6'4", the exact same size, exact same, like, weight,
uh-huh.
And one was better than the other.
Oh, really?
So how would you feel about that if you were the...
if you're the guy?
You just got to feel like you didn't work hard enough, right? Because, like, my brother and I play against each other every day.
But do you resent it at that point, or do you think that you're just like, oh, he's my twin, so it's cool?
I think it's maybe one of them was like good at baseball, like a pitcher, and then the other one was good at basketball, so maybe it's just what they concentrated on.
Right. What about Siamese twins? Could you ever marry a Siamese twin?
The ones that are still connected?
Yeah. Yeah. The ones that are connected, and they're like, you know, but it's cool because she does her own thing, but we're going to the movies tonight.
Like Stuck on You?
Yeah. They're like, yeah, there's been those where they're still connected, but and then someone gets a boyfriend.
I don't think that can't last that long, right? That they're all sharing kidneys and stuff? And heart.
Oh, you mean do they live that long?
Yeah.
I don't know. There was one on HBO that was kind of weird. They were connected by their head.
Yeah.
Remember that?
I saw them not too long ago. They did like that surgery because they said one of them was like sick and was going to die because
uh-huh.
they didn't get separated or something like that.
I just remember when they made a music video. The one had a dream to make a music video. And the other one, it wasn't her dream.
Yeah.
But she's got to go along for the ride because
right.
her sister wants to make a music video. And they filmed it where she's dancing around with all her friends, like in the park. I think they were in Central Park, actually. And like the one is, she's singing her song and she's got her friends around her and they're all jamming. And then you can't help but notice that her sister is on a tray, like a 5 foot high tray, just hanging out during the video. She doesn't want to be a part of it. She's not dressed up for it. And she's twirling around doing circles and stuff, as you do in a music video. Her sister's on a tray going along for the ride.
Yeah.
These are the sacrifices you have to make.
That would be like a damper on any performance.
It's like hard.
If one was the singer and then the other one was just like, didn't even want to be there, you know?
Yeah, and you're just like, oh God, like, are you done yet?
Like one was like a piano virtuoso and the other one's just kind of hanging out
on her phone. She's made it all the way to Carnegie Hall and her sister's on a tray just like playing Angry Birds.
Yeah. I mean, it's even harder if you're like an actor in a play and then the other one's just wearing like a black robe.
And they're like, we really think you're going to be great for this movie. We think you're the next Meryl Streep. What about your sister? I heard that.
If you're sitting in a chair and she can be like flipped over the back of it.
I heard that. I'm right here. That's a whole level of sacrifice that is just beyond what I'm capable of.
The dating, too.
Well, the dating one is, there was the ones from the Guinness Book of World Records when we were kids, the two, the Siamese twins, the Chan brothers or the Chen brothers. Remember those guys?
No.
They were Siamese twins, nice looking gentlemen, and they ended up getting married and living with their girlfriends for a long time. I think it was the Chen brothers or the Chan brothers.
Do you ever think it helped, though? Like, what if they like played ping pong or something? Like doubles ping pong?
Here it just is.
What? Were awesome? No, like something that would be helpful if you were connected at the head.
Like being able to play like ping pong?
If they played doubles ping pong and they were just both sides.
Well, you know, sometimes when you play pool and billiards and you have to really stretch across the table.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can't really line up the shot.
Like that would help?
Like could you just pass it to your buddy and let them do it? You just lean over and like tip the other one closer to the ball. But that's playing doubles.
The three-legged race?
If I was playing against that, I would protest.
Yeah.
Chang and Ang Bunker. You don't remember those guys?
No.
They were these two guys.
Bunker?
They were like the older, it's like in the 40s.
Oh man, yeah, they look old.
Yeah, they were old, but they're good-looking guys. And two, the original Siamese twins. I don't know if they, that's kind of weird. Now, I don't know if I'm on a fake news site, but Chang and Ang Bunker became slave-owning Southern gentlemen. That's unfortunate. what year were these guys around? 1811. They were born in 1811 in Siam, now known as Thailand. The pair triumphed over extraordinary odds and prejudice in the 19th century, of course. I mean, if we're having a hard time not making fun of it, imagine what they were doing in the 19th century. They were really...
Well, it had to be a lucrative carnival living that they made, maybe.
The twins, who had a condition named after them, toured with carnivals in the U.S.
See?
There you go. You do know a lot about
it. Could twins. Be an agent. Broadway Danny Rose.
But they became U.S. citizens, opened a store, and built a spacious home. After being leased out as teenagers...
What?
You never want that part of your resume, that you were leased out for a while. They became slave owners themselves. The wedding in 1843 provoked a national scandal amid claims it was bestial. people back in 1843 did not understand this at all. They were just freaking out because you never heard about or saw other people have sex, and you just saw these guys, and it hit people's brains, and they lost it. But, and this is where it gets really weird, they had 21 children with the sisters.
Whoa.
10 by Chang and 11 by Aang.
How do I know which is which?
You know, these guys look like they're connected by basically your rib cage.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Right.
They've got their arms around each other. They're in suits. I mean, these guys are really like full on. Like, it was hard for those ones that I was talking about with the music video because one's on your head like a hat. But these guys, they're connected right by the middle. So it was just like, you know, it's like if you and I were just connected by the middle, you're two people with your legs aren't connected. It's go time. It's
looks
total.
Like a ventriloquist act.
Yeah.
But wait, were they the greatest slaves ever that they got promoted from slave to slave owner? Does that ever happen?
It's very rare that happens.
I've never heard of that.
Very rare.
Most slaves do not want to be slave owners. They usually see the bad part of it.
And the Chang brothers were just like, no, screw that. We're going to seek revenge. They're like, look, we might be connected by this, but we're not slaves. Here's a picture of them with their wives.
Whoa.
They're not...
They look alike,
they're
very
too. Very dour-looking people. They're not, you know... They are not... You know, back then, you got married because you wanted to get married. But these guys were aggressive. I mean, if they had slaves... And they also told these women, like, no, I'm going to have 11 kids and I'm going to have 10. And these women, they just look like, oh, geez, we're getting pregnant again?
That means he's got to go to all the childbirth that his brother has, right? So he's got to go to the delivery room for, like, 21 kids?
No, back then you'd knock up your wife and then she would go and have it in the field and you'd be, you know... Then he's with the other girl and trying to get her pregnant. It wasn't like now where you go in.
It's a lot of cigars.
There's in Thailand, they have an actual monument for the Chang brothers.
Oh, wow. Is it a double tree hotel?
Wrigley Spearman gum? Oh, my God. They were pursuing the daughters. Oh, they were sisters. The twins were undeterred by the mockery. There was even a joke that Chang had interfered in a love intrigue of Aang's. The brother wanted to fight a duel over it, but couldn't agree on the distance from which to shoot each other. That was the kind of joke that they had back then.
What?
Dueling jokes.
Yeah.
So the joke was, oh, did you hear? Chang hit on Aang's girl.
Right.
Oh,
right.
Yeah, and they're going to duel. Uh-huh. They're going to duel, but they couldn't agree on a distance from which to shoot each other. Whoa! That's a good one. That's what comedy was back then. That's why there were no stand-ups back then.
What if they did want to fight and they hit each other?
I'm sure they did.
They all feel that, like if you punched him in the face, wouldn't you feel it too?
No.
You wouldn't?
Nope. When he's being serviced by that sister, he's not...
He's not a part of it?
Nope. He might be aroused by it, but not because of a physical thing. The twins were undeterred by the mockery. We enjoy ourselves pretty well, but we have not yet married, they wrote at age 31. But we are making love pretty fast, and if we get a couple nice wives, we will be sure to let you know about it. What does that mean, making love pretty fast?
Yeah, they're a little man about town.
Man about town. And
Chang Chang.
In fact, they were pursuing the daughters of a neighboring farmer, David Yates, and an unusual romantic conundrum had arisen. Over several years, Chang and his slimmer, more attractive sister, Adelaide, had fallen in love. Aang and her sister, Sarah, had not. Okay, so Chang and the hot one were into it, and Aang was with the ugly one and was like, no, No, thank you. Marrying the two sisters made sense, however, as Victorian propriety would not have tolerated a woman sharing such intimacy with another female. Hmm. So they were worried about the two girls? What? It took the somewhat portly... they're really not nice.
It's all very complicated.
They're not nice. Well, it's a hard life. It took her 5 years to agree to Eng's entreaties, but couples were married by a Baptist preacher at Yates's living room in 1843. The foursome then returned, and they where the marital bed had
golfing?
Been enlarged and strengthened. So they had to get a big bed with big shocks to get these two sisters in there, one of who was pretty portly, as they would say back then. So the young hot one was into it, and the big one wasn't. You'd think the big one would have been like, all right, it's go time. I'm going to jump on this combo platter. What a weird life. Imagine.
Arranged,
and then they just kept banging out kids.
Arranged marriage.
They shared a liver.
Whoa. So is that a problem if one drank and the other one didn't? Or one smoked and the other one didn't? Our lungs suck, man. You gotta stop smoking.
The one caught bronchitis.
Ooh.
Got really sick and died. Then they were gonna try and split him up. And it didn't work.
It didn't work?
No.
What does it mean? That you just had a dead brother hanging out with him all the time?
The one died and then the other one was on the way out.
Oh, that would have been a drag if he had to bring him around. He's like, oh, don't bind him. That's just my dead brother.
Like Weekend at Bernie's?
Put sunglasses on him.
Just like, come on.
Oh, I'm sorry for your loss. Oh, he's fine. Don't worry about it.
He doesn't care.
He likes to party.
Oh, what a weird, weird existence. So, to all you twins out there, you guys are weird.
Was that the moral?
The moral is...
I think the moral is...
We all have different lives.
For all you twins out there, it could be a lot worse.
Yeah, that's true. It could be... Everything could be worse. For twins or non-twins. You know, when you're alone, if you're an only child, and you're like, I wish I had somebody, careful what you wish for. Because if this is a 1980s movie, you could wake up with someone attached to your head. I'm not saying you can't make the music video or anything. But it was a pretty good video. She had a pretty good voice.
Your sister's
she wore
more...
a cowboy hat, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's a good act.
Why don't you come out to that song?
It'd be so funny if she had a big show and the other one was pissed off at her. She's up on stage like, please, just let me get through the show. And halfway through her act, she's just the other one on the tray is just like, boring. Next.
You know what that reminded me of? The show that you did with... Remember we had the guy he was blind and he had the dog on stage?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's out of New York.
And so no matter what the jokes are, everyone's just reacting to whatever the mood the dog's in. You know what I mean? Like the guy tries to say some like really insulting joke and the dog just yawns like that. That's kind of like your Siamese twin just being like...
I saw him recently.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and he was upset because the dog was getting older.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to kind of trade them in.
Yeah.
That's a bummer.
That's what my friend's doing a documentary about, how those dogs get trained. Like, it's this really, like, fascinating vetting process
mm-hmm.
of what ones that actually make it to guide dog status. It's
oh,
pretty
yeah.
cool. Yeah.
Some, like, just can't cut it because they're just not that bright.
Yeah, I mean, there's just certain breeds and all kinds of stuff. You know, you got to make sure that they don't, like, your dog wouldn't make it.
My dog might make it. She's a puppy. She's a little psychotic now. I mean, you wouldn't want to just tie her up to a blind guy now.
You're walking across the street and she sees another dog.
Anybody. Anything.
Just starts running.
And just runs, and you got to go along for the ride. Oh, man, that would be hard. There was a blind guy on our flight when we came back from Minneapolis.
Oh, yeah?
And he was... we were all getting off the flight, and him and his wife needed a wheelchair, and he was blind. I don't know if she was blind. People are such jerks. I was, you know, we're getting off the plane. It was the two people. Guy's got, like, you know, a stick with a tennis ball on the end. He's trying to find his way. He doesn't know. He's in the gate. He's like, oh, you have my wheelchair here? And they're loading these two up in their little Hannibal Lecter carts, and they're going to bring them up the gate. And there's two people in front of me, this woman and this guy, who can't just chill out.
Right.
You can't just stand there for a second. They just have to do that shitty, I'm going to try and pass.
Right.
This woman who's working the gate is loading up the suitcase, trying to stuff it underneath the cart, you know, and she's having trouble with that. The blind guy is spinning around in circles. He's not sure where he's supposed to sit. And these two obnoxious people, who are just in first class, by the way, can't just sit back for 2 minutes and let these people just find their way.
Yeah.
Give them a little space. So as this woman's bent over trying to shove the suitcase underneath, this obnoxious lady is, like, with her wheelie bag, trying to get around her, knocking into her. It's like, you ass. I was like, in my head, like, I don't say anything. Do people say things? Do people say things out loud? I never really hear people say things. Like, I wanted to say, why don't we just give them a little minute and let them... But I just was sitting there in my head rooting for it, like, oh, good. She's just move the guy over just 2 feet. All right, good. Now they're blocked. Now you can't do it. And then when they start pushing them, the one woman's struggling because the lady was kind of big, and you got to go up the ramp, and you got to go up a section of the ramp. These two a-holes are still trying to get around them.
Mm-hmm.
Won't even help the woman. I drop my bag because I am a saint among men, and go and drop my bag and go help the woman. I said, you need a little push, please. And we push her up the ramp a little bit. Then I walk back, get my bag. These two idiots are still trying to make maneuvers, still trying to pass on the inside. What's wrong with people?
I don't know, man.
It's you just know what
the,
I mean?
Well, the airport also brings out the worst in everybody, too, because it's just like the whole thing is just testing your patience the whole time.
It is. It is definitely putting you in a situation that is difficult. When we were waiting to board that flight out of Minneapolis, when you almost got knocked off the flight because of your seat assignment, and you were in that sea of people at the, I have a picture of it. It looks like you're at Ellis Island.
Yeah, yeah.
The whole gate area was set up so dumb. There was like all these seats with iPads that you can order food on.
Yeah.
So they took all the regular seats out. So now everybody else has no place to sit. They're all standing there trying to board in this tiny section of the flight. Everybody, you take these human beings who they might be nice people, and you put them all standing on top of each other, and you and you, the rest of the people are trying to get on the flight and fighting for elbow room, and now you're banging into other people. Someone's going to blow.
Right.
Someone, where you've now been put in a situation that is not normal, and people who have temper or uncomfortable or scared, they're going to freak out. I mean,
yeah.
Most of the time I find people aren't intrinsically evil or shitty. I mean, there are a lot of those people, but for the most part, I find that people are okay. It's when they're jammed into these situations that are unbearable that it comes out.
Right.
Being in traffic, having to merge, being online at Disney, being at the DMV, all of these places that haven't figured out how to make things nice for all these millions of people going through their gates every damn day. The people that haven't figured it out, there's fights. There's fights. There's people getting yelled at. It's a bad scene.
Yeah, the airport is just... I mean, whoever figured out, like, is it illegal to have an empty seat on a plane these days? Like, every flight is either overbooked or... You know, and there's no extra space anywhere. Even those economy plus seats. They're no bigger than anything else.
They've designed these planes to fit more seats on them.
Right.
So they've taken the same dimensions and crammed, took away inch here, inch there.
Yeah.
And have taken stuff away from people. And you wonder why people are obnoxious and losing their marbles.
Yeah, it's just crazy.
It's just the way it goes. But that being said, we're still human beings. And if you're there, all right, I get it. If you're going up the gate and someone's like on their cell phone looking down and you want to pass, all right, you want to get around that person, make a move.
Mm-hmm.
You have to hip check them a little bit, fine. They're violating the contract. You do right. what you have to do. When you travel, it is difficult and it is stressful. And now there's a blind guy and his wife. How much more difficult is it for them?
Yeah.
Doesn't that stop you in your tracks just for a minute?
It should, yeah.
And just make you think, all right, I'm acting like an asshole. Let's be a little less selfish because there, but for the grace of God, go I.
But it turns you into two different people. Either you're hyper aware of not bumping into everyone, or you just don't give a crap at all. And those are the guys that are on the phone and bringing mm-hmm. nine bags. And
when you're being nice and you see other people making moves, asshole moves to try and pass you,
mm-hmm.
and you know they're inching up. And look, there's a lot of bad. It's one of the most unpleasant moments when you're trying to board a plane, especially if you're deep in the pack. If you're able to board early with business class or whatever status you have, even that is obnoxious. But it's once they get up to group four, it is. I'm surprised people aren't just eating each other.
Well, and that's the thing is like the reason that people get so upset is because the bar is kind of high. Like you're paying hundreds of dollars for this flight, so you should be able to have a comfortable seat.
You
in a bathroom and get a drink and that kind of stuff. And when you're on the train or the subway, your standards are like lower, and then it ends up being like a more pleasant experience because, you know.
No, I know. When JetBlue showed up and was actually nice to people and gave them free snacks, people lost their minds. They're like, they're the greatest ones in the world because they've been abused by other people for so long.
Yeah.
Oh, so then I mean, anyway, but we kind of went off track, but.
Be nice to blind people is the point.
The blind people. So I'm in the bathroom. I went off to the bathroom before we went to baggage claim. And it was a weird entrance to the bathroom. It's the Delta one at LAX. It's kind of in this round part. And it's kind of like this weird hallway. And then it kind of juts to the right. And then you're in the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
It's a female that's pushing the blind guy into the thing. She can only go so far.
Right.
I'm at the urinal. I'm peeing.
So you got recruited?
I hear him. No one's helping him. People are just zipping by, again, because I'm a saint. As I have my equipment in my hand finishing up, I'm yelling to him, urinal's this way. Urinal's over here. Because he's over by the paper towel thing.
Right.
He doesn't know. It's a weird dynamic. It's weird dimensions.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm quickly finishing up and putting everything away. So I can lead him to my urinal and got him there. He's like, thank you. And then I was gonna hang out and try and lead him out. But I figure once you're in, he's got it.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was like moving the stick around and trying to do what he had to do. And I was like, this is going to take a while. I think I've done my duty.
Mm-hmm.
Not literally. It was at the urinal. And then I split. But man, you see people... Here's something I'll admit about myself when I was mean and then became kind. When I thought it was funny, I had a friend of mine who, whenever they saw little people, he would take a picture of them on their cell phone, and it was like capturing them for good luck.
What?
You would take a picture of a little person, and it was like this funny joke about, oh, like they're leprechauns.
Yeah.
Which is kind of funny, but kind of mean at the same time. It's not mean if nobody knows, and you're just like, hey, share this picture, whatever. It's still mean. But I was in an airport once and saw a little guy walking, and I was like, oh, that would be funny to send to my friend. And then I see his little wife behind him, and then I see his four kids behind them, some regular size, some not. And watching this guy go through the airport, which, again, is a horrible and difficult thing.
Yeah.
Watching him have to climb up onto the seat at the gate, exhausted, sweaty, that he just got. I had just been a new father, too, and I knew what it takes to get a family through an airport.
Yeah.
It's like a military operation.
Right.
And watching this little guy wipe his brow with that thing of like, oh, we got to the gate.
Yeah, yeah.
We got out of the house. We locked it up. We got to the thing. We did the shuttle. We got through the security. The kids peed. We got some coffee. Oh, we're at the gate. Okay, we did it. That's the moment where you just let your guard down. You're just like, all right. And I was like, I can't take pictures of little people. This is so obnoxious. What am I doing? You know what I mean? This guy, his life is so much tougher. I am the small man in this scenario. Did you know that in the next 25 years, we could lose all of the primates on the planet?
Primates? What do you mean? Gorillas? Monkeys?
Monkeys. Chimps, lemurs, bonobos, and orangutans. Just to name a few. I'm sure the gorillas are in there too. Because for the first time, you know, when I was in Africa, you started to see, like, it just seems like it's endless amount of land that there's just, like, they'll be safe forever. But no. You know what's a big part of what's killing all of the land in all these tropical parts is palm oil.
Really?
Yeah. For palm oil, they're just devastating forests and jungles and crushing it. And because the planet is just becoming so much more populated, we need some more researchers. They're starting to go into all of these areas. And bushmeat, if you're really poor and you're living in a place that's had a drought for 7 years and your family's dying and it's you or that monkey, and you know, you've seen the Jane Goodall specials, you still don't care.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's almost like all of the forces are becoming so great that I just read this. For the first time, they're all on the verge of extinction. 504 species. So my question to you, Paul Morrissey, is how are you going to fix it?
Well, I do know one place where they're not going to mess with the monkeys. And that place is called Monkey Island.
Where's that?
Now that is a place that used to do experiments on monkeys.
In
the hospital, and the monkeys took over, and and there's no humans on there anymore. It's just the monkeys, and there's rabid diseases, there's genetic defects.
Wow!
And all people do, like, you can do a tour and just take a boat going by there, and you can see the crazy monkeys, but nobody goes on Monkey Island.
And the monkeys haven't tried to get off.
I don't know what's happened. I think they just, I think they were hoping that maybe they would all die or something like that, but I think there's a certain...
Who was hoping it? Like the scientist that left them there?
Yeah.
Was just like, oh boy, we better hope that those guys die off, because you do not want to see the kind of monkeys that are coming out of Monkey Island. The secret of Monkey Island. There's no real thing.
Yeah.
The first thing that comes up online is that it's a video game.
No.
The Secret of Monkey Island on Xbox. I tried to buy an Xbox, by the way.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. The people at Best Buy, I think, might be the worst employees on the planet at this point.
Yeah.
They've really gotten to a point. There is something going on in the culture that is taking what is a cool job. Everybody loves going to Best Buy. When you're going into Best Buy, it's to buy something fun. You don't go to Best Buy because you have to.
Right.
You go to Best Buy because, hey, I'm in the market for a new computer or an Xbox or new appliances, or I'm getting a new TV. You're happy when you go to Best Buy.
Yeah.
It's a fun place. If I was a kid working, I would get a job there. It's not a bad uniform. You put on the cool blue shirt. I practically wear that now. Why are they such a-holes? Why are they so obnoxious?
I think it's because they work off commission or something.
All the more reason you should
be nicer.
See a man walking through there on a Tuesday afternoon. There's no one in the store, Paul. There's three people wandering around looking with some cash, looking to buy something. I'm one of them.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you're trying to hit on a girl at a bar, and you don't have your mojo that night. You're making eye contact with everyone, and they're just looking down at their drinks or running into the bathroom. And then I was like, why are there no Xbox or PlayStations down here?
Right.
I'm going to buy it. This is from my football winnings. I'm like, I'm going to buy something stupid.
Right.
I'm going to buy this. This is stupid. I'm looking at the shelf. There are no Xboxes. There are no PlayStations. I'm like, how could they be out in the middle of January? There's no way. And then I see way up top, they're all on these shelves, and there's this stepladder to go up there. And I'm like, you know what? Screw these guys. I'm going to just go on the stepladder and get that. And I was like, well, if I fall, then it's going to be a big problem. So I said to the guy, so I saw one guy like running, scurrying through the aisle, trying to avoid eye contact and get to the back so he doesn't have to help you. I'm like, can I just go up there and get that? He's like, no, I'll be with you in a minute. And he takes off. Never came back. I walked out of the store. I walked out of the goddamn store.
No, you climbed that ladder yourself and you fall. That's called Best Papa instead of Best Buy. That's your store, man.
Oh, man. I could have owned that place.
Just like the
theater.
And
I would have told people that I would tell my employees, hey, a little smile. I don't want to see anybody on this floor who's not being helped.
Right.
If you're helping somebody else, give them a thumbs up and say, I'm going to be right with you. That's all you have to do to people. Again, putting people in those scenarios and putting people in horrible situations so they start acting like freaks, that's a situation where that is you're manufacturing that anxiety yourself.
Yeah.
This is a huge store, spacious, tons of room. Everyone's in a good mood, and you turn people into animals just from you being obnoxious.
Right.
Oh.
Yeah, the last time I was there was during Christmas when it was like the same thing. Everyone needed help, and you couldn't find anybody that worked there anywhere. Like,
right.
It was one of those things like, we're trying to give you money. So just...
I'm a grown man who should not be buying an Xbox. There is no reason for me to be in here. And I'm going to buy all of it. I'm going to buy games. I'm going to buy controllers for my kids. I'm just going to be stupid in this moment.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm not being stupid. No. Then I went to Guitar Center and bought a mandolin. And some bongos.
That's the grown-up thing to do.
That was the grown-up thing to do. I was like, what would Garrison Keillor do? He would go buy a harmonica. He wouldn't buy a stupid Xbox. How about this? This is a funny segue. In movies that are on TV this week, you know what you missed last night? Planet of the Apes.
Oh, yeah?
Yep. The original Charlton Heston one was on Sundance Channel last night.
Did you know there's like four of those?
Do you want to tell me a year that it was, that it came out?
Oh, I'll say 68.
Nice. Exactly 68.
Yeah?
Yep. Exactly 1968. That is an example of a movie that shows that you don't really need great special effects. Those monkeys looked like a mask. We have much better at Party City now than they had in that thing. But the acting was so good. Everybody was so like convincing and so, you know, real actors.
Yeah.
What's his name? Who's the great actor?
British guy?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can't remember his name either.
Oh, man. He's so good. He did so many things. There's a theater in Long Island called the Bay Street Theater, which I did stand-up at a couple times. It's really amazing place. And he used to play there doing theater all the time.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. What was his name? Oh, it's right on the... We'll be right back with Bad Memory. Right,
well, that was the thing. Didn't that movie do so well? They ended up making like a bunch more of them, like Journey of the Planet of the Apes underneath
Return.
The center of the earth.
Yeah, like, Return of the Planet. Roddy McDowell.
Roddy McDowell, yeah.
The great Roddy McDowell. Man, was he good. Yeah, they did. They made a bunch of them. Conquest of Planet of the Apes, Escape from Planet of the Apes. I had some toys, Planet of the Apes toys, when I was a kid. It's just coming back to me. Beneath Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, Beneath is the one that like went too crazy. Like they're
the bizarre world. It's fuzzy. You meet in Planet of the Apes was only the beginning. What lies beneath may be the end. Beneath Planet of the Apes, the sole survivor of an interplanetary rescue mission searches for the only survivor of the previous expedition. Well, they're just really cranking it out at that point.
I think Charlton Heston only did like the first two, maybe.
Yeah, I think he did the first two. And then the new ones came out. James Franco was in it, I think. Like the new Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, wasn't it Mark Wahlberg?
I thought it was Franco.
I don't know. I didn't see either one of those.
I was so excited. You were like, all right, now we do have the technology.
Yeah.
This backs up my point. Now we do have the technology. We can make these things look amazing. The movie stunk.
Yeah.
Really let me down.
When they try to make stuff too, like that's the problem I have with even like Star Wars, remember? Mm-hmm. How cool it looked when they actually used real stuff.
And yes.
And now everything's like CGI and animation, and
you don't want to feel phony. Yeah, you don't want to feel like you're watching a video game. You don't want to break out of it completely and be like, I'm just watching digital effects
or a cartoon. Like that's what Spider-Man. I'd rather see the actual guy,
yes,
and have him on wires or something than you just draw somebody on a green screen.
100%. That's because we value quality things. Tonight you can watch Grumpy Old Men.
Oh yeah.
Have you ever seen that?
Yes, of course.
That was, we actually drove through the town or near the town. Remember the girl who was driving us was like, that's where they filmed Grumpy Old Men.
Oh, really? Is that what she, I didn't.
Yeah. You were tuning her out. You didn't like her. You were sick of her.
She was talking about the nanny cam.
Oh, yeah. Tomorrow, Wednesday, if you're not doing stand-up comedy, you can watch Full Metal Jacket on IFC.
Oh,
you know, I do like when things are on Sundance or IFC or AMC.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind having a movie on that I'm not, you know, it's on, you're watching it, but you know what? You're going to throw a commercial in? It's okay. I'll get up and get some snacks, stretch a little. I don't have, you know what I mean? Like when you don't have time to sit down for a straight 2-hour movie.
Right.
Who cares if it's Full Metal Jacket's on IFC? Man, that was good.
Great for opening, what, 20 minutes, half hour?
I think it's probably close to 40 minutes.
Is it the training camp?
The training
stuff?
Camp,
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, that's great.
Was so insane. Then they go off to war. It's a lot like Stripes.
Yeah, it's like a different movie.
Yeah, it's like in the beginning when they're training, best movie in the world. And then all of a sudden they're in Germany.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
What am I watching?
Driving to Winnebago?
Same thing with Full Metal Jacket. But anything by Stanley Kubrick, holy cow.
Yeah, it's great.
I should watch that again, actually, just to watch the second half of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm trying to think if I even remember it. I watched a couple, like, there's like a 15 or 20 minute clip of the making of The Shining.
Mm-hmm.
And just Kubrick kind of yelling at Shelley Duvall,
mm-hmm,
for missing her mark.
Oh, really?
And then they're doing the freezer scene. And,
is this that documentary, The Room 901?
No. This is just something I found on YouTube. They just had like an extra clip. And it's Nicholson. They're talking to Nicholson just about his lines and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And Kubrick's mom is there.
Mm-hmm.
And she's asking, like, how do you memorize the lines? And he's like, oh, I just make them up. This guy can't write anything. Like, just making jokes.
Uh-huh.
And then he did that freezer scene where Shelley Duvall's in there.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know,
he's in there.
Well, yeah, he's in there.
She's outside.
And his head's against the door.
Right. It's shooting him from the floor up.
And he's like looking up. And so it's the creation of that scene.
Because
Kubrick's like, I don't know how we should shoot this. He's like, hey, let me try something. Let me get underneath your legs. And then he shot it up. He's like,
wow.
So don't look down. Just look straight ahead. And it's just the creation of this like amazing shot.
And it's one of the coolest shots ever.
Yeah, the whole movie. Yeah.
That's amazing.
It's pretty cool.
That movie, Kubrick was a genius.
Yeah.
Holy cow. I mean, I was watching Barry Lyndon the other night, which is like,
oh, I don't think I've seen
it. It's one
that.
Of the early, more obscure ones.
Right.
Ryan O'Neill plays this like aristocrat in Victorian times, and he's it's just his life, and it's very slow, and it just kind of, but every shot is amazing.
Yeah.
Every shot is, whether it's landscape or within the homes or just of the thing I love about all Kubrick movies, he does this thing where he comes in so tight on a guy's face, mm-hmm. and he'll just come in super slow. Clockwork Orange, he does it. The Shining, he does it. 2001, he just like slowly comes in on this guy's face, and you're just catching all of his thoughts and everything that's going on, and he stays on it, doesn't mm-hmm. move. There's usually some intense music coming on behind it, and it's just a very unique Kubrick shot.
Yeah.
And even in Barry Lyndon, he's playing poker against some other guys, some card game like poker, it's gambling, and there's this Victorian guy, you know, the makeup, the white makeup, the wig, the, you know, the very effeminate, weird looking, but, and the guy's face is shaped like a peanut. It's just a weird looking guy. And just what you want as a someone watching it is just to stay on this face for a while.
Yeah.
And he does that same thing with this guy. Oh, you see how when people make films and do anything, it's like something becomes a signature and you don't even know why they're doing it. That's just his thing.
Mm-hmm.
That he did it in this small, non-dramatic moment on early in his films. You can see like, oh, then he used that same technique for this kind of throwaway moment
mm-hmm.
later with Jack Nicholson and just coming in on him sitting in his room alone. Oh man, it's powerful. So Full Metal Jacket, you can watch on Wednesday. Another great filmmaker's thing on Thursday, February 9th, Kill Bill Volume 1.
Now, what do you think of that?
I think that's pretty great. Again, Tarantino's one of those directors like, I could just watch, you know what I mean? I'll forgive you a whole bunch of stuff that other movies you might rip apart
mm-hmm.
because you're showing me something kind of unique and you can just feel that there's some quality behind it.
Right.
And Uma Thurman's amazing in it.
Yeah, but I feel like once I heard the story behind it, so basically Inglourious Basterds is that story.
Mm-hmm.
And so the plot was going to be, you know how like that girl runs away from the Nazis? Like she's hiding under the house in Inglourious Basterds?
Yeah.
And Christoph Waltz comes in,
right.
shoots through the floorboards, and then one girl runs away.
Right.
So the movie was originally supposed to be that she kept a list of all the people that she was going to kill.
Mm-hmm.
And then that was the movie, was her taking down all those people.
Right.
And so in the meantime, he wrote Kill Bill, and then basically that's what that plot is. So he changed Inglourious Basterds from the original thing.
Oh, and made it into a Nazi?
I always feel like that was like a better... I like Inglourious Basterds better. I feel like Kill Bill is more of like a...
But I mean, Inglourious Basterds is, you know, such a comic book in a way.
Yeah, I thought that was more...
I mean, Kill Bill is too. I mean, it's just his style. They're both great. I mean, come on, there's such scenes... That in was it Inglourious Basterds when they're downstairs in the bar
mm-hmm.
and they find out that a guy, just from the way he pronounces this one word, that they're...
Right.
I mean, he does such... There's those iconic scenes. He's great. We can't even debate it. The Grapes of Wrath. Have you ever seen that?
The movie?
A friend of ours on the podcast... the movie. John Ford directed it.
Hmm.
And Henry Fonda was in it.
Maybe.
You know, that's the... whenever there's a struggle, I'll be there. Whenever there's a
man,
whenever there's someone who doesn't have Nikes, I'll be there. I never saw that whole movie on Turner Classic, which is my favorite station of all times.
It's black and white. Ew.
You make me so mad sometimes. A friend of ours, we talked about Steinbeck for some reason a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about Of Mice and Men and East of Eden and something. We were talking about something about Steinbeck. And somebody said to me, you should read Travels with Charlie in Search of America.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Steinbeck's, actually, like, it's kind of like an autobiography. Like, he he writes it from his own point of view, and him and his dog go out. He builds this thing on the back of his pickup truck, like a little house, like a camper kind of thing. He didn't want to haul one. And he climbs in there and he sleeps, and then he drives around. It's a road trip movie with him and his dog.
Mm-hmm.
And someone on the podcast had brought up, especially now that I have a dog, he said, you might like this. So I picked it up the other day.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain authors and certain writers that are just so far beyond. I won't mention the author or the title of a book I was just trying to get through, which is pretty popular right now. And I heard it on some other podcast. Someone had mentioned what a great story it was. And I was like, all right, cool. I bought it. I'm all in. I like this guy. I take his recommendation, start reading it. I'm like, why is this not catching me?
Yeah.
Why is it not going anywhere? And then I open up the Steinbeck, and the first page, he's just such a better writer.
Yeah.
He creates such imagery in this easy way with such a distinct voice. Immediately, I'm like, all right, I'm not putting this book down.
Right, right.
There's no plot. There's no big... There's no monkeys. There's no Planet of the Apes going on.
Yeah.
It's him getting ready for a road trip with his dog. And I'm in. It's That's the same great. As reading like Updike or something like that. It's just like, if you write... these guys are giants. If you write like that...
Yeah.
Books are a big investment of time. Find time in 2017.
Right.
Carve out a part of your day where you can sit and read more than 10 pages.
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
Right.
I'm not wasting time with something that's not going to blow my mind. So I'm excited for the travels with Charlie. Yeah.
Nice.
Very excited.
Papa's Book Club.
Papa's Book Club. There you go. We did that last summer when we were talking about
books.
That's right. And then what else do we have? Oh, we have one more on Saturday on Turner Classic again. A Hard Day's Night. Did you ever watch that? The Beatles?
Yes.
Is there a band now, not a kids band, who would make a movie? Isn't it weird? There's no, like when you're talking about Lady Gaga, like who has all those hits? We've kind of gone through all of them.
Right.
It's like, who's the big band now? Who's like a big rock band that you know is going to go out on the new side? I mean, you know, the Stones are going out there.
Right,
again.
Right.
Who's like the new band that's going to go sell out arenas this summer?
No, it is a weird thing. Like, that's what they're talking about with the Eagles. You know how, like, they basically broke up in the, mid-80s?
Mm-hmm.
And they just broke up the entire time that their fan base grew up.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time they got together again, all these people had money, and they're the ones that are going to see him play. That's why they're, like...
$100 a ticket.
Yeah, that's why they're touring. They almost can't turn that money down.
Oh,
like, they had to get together because it almost helped. And classic rock started the radio station, so they just played the Eagles stuff over and over and over again. So they don't even have to play new stuff. They're just, you know...
That's amazing.
...living off that. So I don't know the group that could... I don't know. What is, like, the biggest... I mean, Sting just tried to come back with
These
something.
These are all comebacks, though. Who's the guys... I mean, we thought it was going to be, like, Kings of Leon... Or who's the other one?
I mean, the Black Keys were like a decent... They had a decent run there, right? Like, they were pretty popular for a year or two.
That's the thing. It's like nobody goes out and just like kills it.
Yeah, and they're not like an arena band either.
Right.
You know, it's just...
Is that just over now? Like, because of the way that the business develops, like, you don't even have those bands?
Yeah, I mean, the big ones are, like, still, you'll see the schedule, and it's Metallica and, like, Guns N' Roses and all these huge 80s arena rock bands, and nobody makes that kind of sound anymore.
No. I mean, you know, there's good bands, Alabama Shakes.
Right.
Kicks ass, but nobody has that broad, like, huge reach. Like, they have their fans,
mm-hmm.
sure, but I think those days are gone.
Yeah, and it's not even, like, geared towards, like, that... Who's the group that you like, that LCD sound system guy? I mean, he just made everything in his basement,
mm-hmm.
and when people wanted to see him live, he had to, like, put a band together to just do that.
Is that weird?
Yeah. So it's like
just a different time. I mean, the you know who's filling arenas is guys with iPods.
Right. Yeah, that's the crazy
DJs.
Thing.
Those are the ones who are filling arenas.
Yeah.
People that, you know, have electronic music and beats put into like a playlist.
Yeah, that is so crazy to me.
It's that, like, insane.
That you would pay to do it. I guess you're paying like for the experience, like the Grateful Dead thing, like people gathering and
being a part of it and dancing with your friends and seeing pretty girls and all the rest of it. And you look, it's such a, it's, you don't want to be the old man saying my time was better, but to think that there was a time when a Robert Plant was relevant and walking around at the same time a Mick Jagger was, at the same time an Elton John was, at the same time Queen was, at the same time a Jim Morrison was, at the same time a Dylan was. I mean, it's at the same time The Who was.
Yeah.
They were all walking around just cranking out albums at the same time.
Yeah.
I mean, there was just, that does not exist anymore. That just is not a thing. You know who kicks ass in live shows? Doing better than he's ever done before?
Who's that?
Rob Zombie.
Yeah, that's true, too. He's carved out, and he always concentrated on the live shows, too. Like, he made it a big deal early on.
He's not going to roll out there in a t-shirt and not put on a show. I'm going through right now a list of the top 50 rock bands. You haven't heard of any of them.
The touring bands?
Chastity Belt, the Chromatics.
I would say a lot of
Spoon.
The bigger one. Spoon's like an older band, too.
Mm-hmm.
The one you hear about is like the Zac Brown Band, but they're country, right?
Yeah. Well, country's moved over to rock a little bit more. Yeah, it just doesn't exist.
I would say like the Foo Fighters are probably the youngest of those bands that can still draw.
Yes. Vampire Weekend.
Yeah, I used to like those guys, but
they just don't have that.
They're not a show, I don't think. Like,
But like we said in the beginning
Def
of the
Leppard.
Podcast, you're your own entertainment executive,
right?
You know, if you're just sitting there and piecing together, you know, your bands and your playlists and your thing. It's not like we're all listening to the one station that's saying, the Stones are coming this weekend, and we're all in high school at the same time freaking out. Like, the Stones are coming. Yeah, they said on PLJ today that the Stones are coming.
Yeah.
And it was like, you could move masses of people.
Right.
Not anymore. Now you get on your little playlist, and your friend shares this one video, and then you and your 200 people go and see this one person play. So weird. I mean, comedy is the same way, right? I mean, we all have our own fans, and we have the best fans in the world.
That's right, especially the ones in Minnesota
this
past weekend.
We're coming to Atlanta, we're coming to Colorado. It's just nonstop. It's insane.
Idaho.
I have a big live show coming up at the Comedy Cellar on February 22nd. Greer Barnes is going to be on the show. Judy Gold is going to be on the show. Rick Chrome, William Stevenson, the live Come to Papa show. The next one is coming. I just posted the one from Sketchfest. I hope you enjoyed that. But go to tompapa.com because we're touring all over the place. We have lots of dates. But February 22nd, that's going to be a good one that you guys definitely should come. And the tickets just went on sale for it. So come on out and tell your friends. We're going to skip tweets because they're just too nice. They're too complimentary. They're just loving our show in Minneapolis. Thank you for coming. You guys are the best. And we're not that arrogant.
Feels like we're scratching our own back.
Michael Emond, or Emond, said, you and your sourdough. Sometimes I wonder if you even know pumpernickel bread exists. That's a good point.
I really try to pretend it doesn't exist.
Someone said that a film fan said that the whole opening of my monologue from the last live show podcast was cut off.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, more technical difficulties. Our producer is not doing well, by the way.
Uh-oh.
We thought he would be back by now. He got out of the hospital, and on his way back was run over by a Mack truck. They were able to scoop up all of his parts off of the freeway and put him back together again, but he's not what he was. So
yikes.
I don't know what's going to happen. People have been posting me some pictures of their bread. I'll give you an update on that. I have a half wheat, half white dough rising right now.
Is that even legal?
Only in California. And it's really difficult. Like, you have to plan all your bread making for the beginning of the week. I want to like start doubling down, because by the time it's all done and delicious, I got to hit the road again.
I know.
March will be a big time for me to really go bread crazy. Well, that's it, guys. Well, that's it for the updates. Thank you for all of your kind words. We appreciate it. Like we said, we had a great time going out and performing. We've got Idaho Falls coming up, a bunch of great shows coming up, so go to tompapa.com and look them up. Are you anywhere this weekend?
I'm just doing shows in town in L.A., so I'll be here.
Oh, good for you. No plane ride for you.
Nice.
You don't have to beat anyone up or protect blind people. all right, that's it for now, guys. Hope you enjoyed the podcast. We'll talk to you next time. Enjoy your life.